Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And then the verse that we're looking at today, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I have a little trivia question. What five-letter word becomes shorter if you add two letters? What? Short. Right? Yeah, that was an easy one. Here's another one. What rock group consists of four famous men, but none of them sing? Mount Rushmore, yes. Anyway, on to the other stuff. So we are nearing the end of our anxious for nothing journey. We've been going through that study since mid-February, I believe, and took a little break for Easter season, but we've been learning about things like rejoicing in the Lord always, and to do that even when it's not always easy to do. Because we can rejoice in God's sovereignty, in His Lordship. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the God who is over all. We can rejoice in His goodness, because He is a good and merciful and gracious God. And we're learning to be gentle and to let our gentleness be made known to all, because the Christian way to be is that gentle or loving or patient kind of way, the way that Jesus would act. And so we're learning to respond to the challenges and the anxieties of life in a gentle way. And we're learning to pray with thanksgiving and to let our requests be made known to God, but to do that not forgetting what God has already done, or not taking for granted what He's given to us. And then we're learning to think about what we think about, and that we can be the air traffic controller of the thoughts that come into our minds. We can focus on good and positive. And so Paul reminds us that the things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, we can focus on those kinds of things instead of the trials and the heartaches and the struggles and the anxieties. And somehow the more we focus on the anxious things, the tougher they become. But there are lots of blessings and lots of good things. And here in verse 9, Paul is inviting us to remember that it's not good enough just to know information. We need to act on what we know. The world is filled with anxiety and things that cause them. And last Sunday, Brian gave you a short list of things that cause anxiety. Maybe it's the lack of time, or the amount of time that you have, and you're trying to get so many things done, and so often people are rushed by time. And then there are the people around us that sometimes can cause anxiety, whether they're going through things, or maybe they put stuff on our plate that they can't deal with, or those kind of things. There are the what-ifs and the unknowns, and in our Anxious for Nothing book, the chapter on if-onlys or what-ifs, and we learn that anxiety and fear are cousins. Fear sees a real threat. Anxiety sees a what-if, or imagines a threat and begins to worry about it. And how many of you have ever struggled just to let go of some of those what-ifs and those anxieties? You go on vacation, and sometimes it takes 2 days just to relax, to be on vacation because of all of the things that are going on in your life. And Paul's admonitions are just empty words unless we put them into practice. One of the major goals of our anxious for nothing journey is that we actually enjoy that peace that passes understanding, and that we experience that deep and underlying peace that comes from God, and that we actually learn to trust Him with our anxieties and our struggles. And so he reminds us, it's not just enough to know what to do. We need to put it into practice. And the word practice has several connotations. There's the noun of practice. People have a practice. A lawyer has a practice, or a doctor has a practice. And sometimes the way we do things is our practice. If your practice is to get up every morning and go to McDonald's and drink coffee, then maybe that's your practice. Or maybe your practice is to get up in the morning and read your Bible and pray and have a quiet time. That's the practice of how we do things. But there's the verb also. And if you are English or British, I should say, the word practice is spelled with an S instead of a C. Kind of helps them differentiate. But the action, the practice, the doing it, is also part of our practice. Put into practice, Paul says. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And if you are a King James Version person, or maybe a Revised Standard Version, they read a little bit differently. King James says, "Those things which ye have both heard," or learned, received, and heard, "and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you." And so it's a put into practice, a do, a get busy, get on this. This is something to act on. And the goal of practicing, whether it's practicing the piano, or practicing the sermon, or practicing the golf stroke, or the free throws in your basketball game, the practice is that if we practice these things day by day, often then when we get in that tough situation, in that time of tension or anxiety, then it'll be more natural for us to respond in those ways. And so practice makes us better if we practice the things that we are told, if we are practicing these spiritual disciplines. Do you want to enjoy the peace that passes understanding? Then Paul says, put these things into practice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And be gentle. Let your gentleness, your Christian attitude be evident. And pray with thanksgiving. And guard your thoughts. And so if we do that, Paul says, if we put those things into practice, there's a further promise. He says, and the God of peace will be with you. And so the promise is, in this little passage we've been studying, the peace of God that passes understanding. But on top of that, the God of peace. Both of those things. A child at night, hearing those scary noises outside the window, the wind blowing and maybe the branches scraping against the side of the house, and the storm, or the feeling is kind of scary and difficult. And so sometimes we could go in there and turn on something that makes a louder noise, maybe one of those noisemakers. And my kids, they only got a fan. Nowadays, they have things that play music or ocean breezes or all kinds of other noises. But you can put on a bigger noise and drown out some of the scary stuff. And that's okay. But ask any kid what they'd really want, and what they want is mom or dad. Or a real person in here just helps a whole lot more than a bigger noise. And so with us, the greater peace is to have someone bigger and stronger, someone comforting right there with us. And so the God of peace is promised. There are some scary events that will come in our lives. We sing the hymn, then one day we'll cross that river and fight life's final war with pain. And when that day comes, or when those trials come, what better than to have the assurance that the Christ who died for us is right there. The God of peace is with us and holding our hand and guiding us across. I've told people on several occasions as I've visited with them in the hospital room, and they know that these are last days or moments, I say to them, this is the time when you truly believe what you have professed all your life. This is the time when you really focus and allow God's peace and strength. Ask God to be with you. And one of the most blessed experiences is to sense His peace. But even more than that, the sense of His presence. And sometimes in your quiet time, or sometimes in your difficult time, you can feel His presence. Maybe you sense Him sitting down on the bed beside you, or maybe, as I've done, walk to the top of the hill on that hike, and I open my Bible as things have been kind of tough, and I read, for some reason, Psalm 121, which says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I think, why did I pick that passage to read? Well, sometimes you read a verse, and suddenly the Holy Spirit warms it up, and it becomes alive, and it strengthens you, and it helps you. Or maybe you go into that chapel in that retreat center, and you just sense the presence of God because of the warmth or the spirit that's there, and you say, I'm standing on a place where God has been. And you sense the presence of God. And so it's important that we learn how to experience not only the peace of God, but the presence of God. The God of peace will be with you. It's important that we put those things into practice, because life is filled with things that will cause you anxiety. And our human default when anxious times come is fight, flight, or freeze. We get defensive, or we want to get away from it and go hide in a hole, or if nothing else, we just kind of freeze up and don't know what to do. And yet for believers in Jesus, there's another way, a better way. And so Paul says, put these things into practice, because there's a peace available, a peace that transcends our understanding, and there's a God of peace who will be with us as well. In a previous sermon, I said that the food dietitians will tell you, you are what you eat. And I said, well, I'm going to up the ante. Not only are you what you eat, but you are what you think. And we were trying to encourage people to think on those things above. But even above that, you are what you do. You are what you eat. You are what you think. But you are what you do. And your actions speak loudly. And Proverbs 20, verse 11 says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. What we do is important. Are you in the midst of an anxious situation? Maybe you're concerned about your children, or that aging parent, or maybe you're frustrated by the school situation, or maybe it's the decisions that you need to make, or maybe you've suffered a great loss, or that pandemic that's been going on, the news keeps you stirred up and afraid to go anywhere and afraid to do anything because there might be some kind of variant or some kind of other thing that might happen, and somehow we allow those things to rob us of our peace? Are you in that stormy season and sometimes the great loss has taken the wind out of your sails? We need to do what we know. Begin to rejoice, because God is good and He is sovereign. He is over all and in all. And we can begin to sing or listen to some music, or maybe go to that quiet place and begin to think about all of the ways that God has been so good. And we rejoice in the Lord, and we begin to realize that even though this is a tense time and a difficult time, I need to remember to respond as Christ would and to do as Jesus would. And then we can talk to God and we thank Him for His blessings, and we share with Him our hurt, our concern, our need. And yet there are times that we doubt, times that we wonder, times that we struggle. Maybe sometimes you even need a little assurance of your salvation. People sometimes doubt. We know what the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, that no one should boast. Or we remember the words in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. But sometimes there are those empty times when we wonder, or we question, or we don't quite feel like we think we ought to. Well, in those times, it's not enough just to say, I believe. We need to continue to act on what we know. We need to continue to live by faith. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. And somehow, as we continue to do the things we know, even though we don't always feel like it, we continue to be faithful and we continue to trust and we continue to do those things, then somehow, as we do that, the feelings follow along after our actions. Sometimes we act as believers and we live as believers, and the sense of God's power and presence comes later. And I don't know how many times I've been through a tough situation and I look back and I say, well, look, there was a time when God worked, and there was something that He did that answered that prayer, and this thing led to that thing, which led to that thing, and somehow God had it under control after all. And so maybe you don't sense or feel the peace of God at the time, but you look back and you say, wow, He was there just like He promised. Our scripture lesson, it reminds us that if we learn to rejoice and learn to react with gentleness, and if we learn to pray with thanksgiving and to focus our things on the true and the noble and the just and the pure, then somehow we can just rest in God. And the song that Samantha sang, that resting and that peace, learning to be still and just let God be God. The scripture reminds us that if we do those things, if we put them into practice, we have the promise not only of the peace that passes understanding, but on top of that, the God who is with us, the peace of God, and also the God of peace. And so as we practice our faith with obedience, we trust and obey, we discover that He is there. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, as we continue to walk with You, and as we continue to seek to be anxious for nothing, as our journey has been trying to teach us, Lord, help us to even this week and even today put into practice the things that we know, to live and to walk by faith. And even though there are times, Lord, that we don't feel close to You, or we don't feel Your presence, Lord, Sometimes it's after the fact that we look back and say, oh, wow, you were there after all, and now I see it. God, thank you for your assurance and for your great love. And help us, Lord, as we go into this world that's filled with anxious things and news, Lord, help us to walk with you and to share our hope and our strength, our faith, our peace with those around us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.